July 8th marked the anniversary of the 1862 Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act, the first law in the United States outlawing polygamy in its states and territories. I spoke with Dr. Karen Danes, a recently retired professor from Brigham Young University, and Martha Bradley, Dean of the Honors College at the University of Utah and scholar of modern polygamy, about the history of polygamy in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Danes says plural marriage in the LDS Church began during its Nauvoo period. She says by the time members left the area, around 10% of households practiced polygamy. She says polygamy increased as Mormons moved west, and famine led the saints to attempt to follow the commandment more religiously.
After this, you have then concern, especially once Republicans achieve power in Washington in the wake of the 1860 election, real concern about plural marriage in Utah.
The Morrill Act was passed, but enforcement of the law was drowned out by the Civil War. Other acts in the 1880s attempted to punish the LDS Church by prosecuting the practice of polygamy. Dane says the Supreme Court's Reynolds decision opened the way to the active prosecution of polygamy.
The decision essentially was that you can believe whatever you want, but the government has an interest in practice.
Dane says this decision changed the way people organize their households.
Polygamists have to really adjust their living arrangements. A man who simply went into the yard of a plural wife's household could be convicted of unlawful cohabitation. He could go riding in a carriage with her, and that was associating with her, and that could be part of the evidence against him. The Latter-day Saints had always said what made what they were doing very different from other people is that they openly acknowledged these wives, they openly acknowledged the children, they took care of these families and had obligations to them. And that is what the federal government wanted to change. It didn't want any acknowledgement of those families at all. The way the law was interpreted, a man could have a mistress as well as a wife, but as long as he didn't hold her out to the world as his wife, then he was fine.
Approximately 1,000 arrests were enacted on charges related to polygamy. Dane says many church members went underground while others chose to comply.
By 1887, and with the passage of the Edmunds-Tucker Act, becomes clear that it's not just individuals, but they're really going to go after the church and take its property. And this was hurting not just those individuals who were in plural marriage, but it's now affecting everyone in the church, including monogamists.
With these high stakes, Dane says changes in the LDS Church were fast, leading to an 1890 declaration by LDS President Wilford Woodruff that the church would no longer preach the doctrine of plural marriage or sanction its practice. As a result of this manifesto, some LDS Church members deserted wives. Many did not. Over the next 20 years, Dane says polygamy in the church gradually faded away. However, Bradley says not all complied with this change in instruction.
During that 20 years, there were some who believed that the Manifesto of 1890 was just simply an accommodation to the federal government, that it wasn't a revelation, and that they actually were obligated to continue in the practice because they believed it was a commandment of God.
These break-off groups are the predecessors of the current FLDS polygamous communities. Bradley says the current prosecutions of polygamy groups do not use original anti-bigamy laws to enforce changes to the lifestyle.
They find violations in terms of abuse of children or neglect of children, or if women have been transported over state lines for immoral purposes. So accusing them of just about anything except for polygamy. The Morrill Act started things and certainly created the legal language for the opposition to plural marriage or anything that disrupted the American family. But it really is a very different set of laws that they're using in the 21st century.
For more on the story, visit upr.org. For Utah Public Radio, this is Taylor Halverson.